Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane. So, last night we began this beautiful pastime. It is interesting to note that the mood of these young girls was that they want to marry Krishna so intensely. He must become my husband. Yet their inner conversations, in their inner conversations, they beg Katyayani Devi to keep their marriage a secret. They're so anxious to marry Krishna that they're even willing to be externally married to other cowherd men while inwardly retaining the pure conception of being Krishna's wives. This is actually most extraordinary. They want a swakya marriage, a wedding relationship with Krishna. Swakya means mine, swa, mine. They want a wedded relationship with Krishna, but intrinsically, by their very natures, they're ready to accept the mood of a parakya or someone else's or a lover whose love must be kept a secret. This parakya mood is the speciality of Radha and Krishna and the gopis in Vraj. Nowhere else in any sacred tirtha, anywhere, or any dham, will you find this particular mood of devotion exhibited. In trying to understand this parakya mood, wherein the lovers both appear to be breaking moral principles in order to meet, we must remember that everything and everyone belongs to Krishna. And if he wishes to play with his dearest gopis in this paramour mood, we should not become confused. Worldly people cannot understand this pastime because they have no understanding of spiritual reality. For them, this world is everything. Fortunately, however, we are trying to adopt the mood of surrender, which will allow us to gradually enter into the divine mysteries of this pastime. Yesterday we heard how these young gopis all yearn to marry Krishna. They all had the same desire. May I reside in the house of Nanda and Yasoda, Vraja's king and queen. May they become my father-in-law and mother-in-law. And may Krishna become my husband, birth after birth. We also heard how Vrinda Devi came to them in disguise, dressed as a mystic yogi, and taught them a mantra and the method of worship to fulfill their aspiration. A vrat or a vow is specified by five specific things: the time, the place, the sankalpa, the mantra, and the Ishtadev. By the mercy of Rinda Devi, they now knew all these five particulars. The time, kala, was set for the first day of the waning moon in the beginning of the month of Magh Shirsha. The place was also planned. The pristine and beautiful banks of the Jamuna River. And their desired goal, or sankalpa, was already deeply established within the core of their hearts, namely, to attain the son of Nanda as their husband. And their mantra began with the words, Katyayani Mahamaye. And their Ishtadev, their worshipful deity, who they were worshipping, was goddess Katyayani. It is interesting to note also how these girls, all these girls, none of them were envious of another, and nor were they competing. Instead, they were working together to achieve their desired goal. When the auspicious Magh Shirsha month arrived, the girls gave up all luxuries and ate only unspiced rice and dal once a day. Their bodies became thin and devoid of natural effulgence. Seeing the intensity of their penances and their emaciated condition, all the Vrajvasis were astonished and felt great pity for them. Each morning, as the sun's rays tinted the sky with a pinkish glow, the gopis would meet according to secret arrangements they had made the night before. Leaving their houses 4 dandas before sunrise, the young gopis would call out to one another, "Oh, fortunate friend, where are you? Where are you? Come, come. Why are you wasting time? Do not delay. Come, come, quickly, quickly, come." Then they welcomed one another with respectful words and embraces and exchanges of love. And then, holding hands and singing songs, teasing one another by exposing their own desires in the songs, they walked together to the Jamuna. Their burning desire to attain Krishna often interrupted their sleep and forced them to remain awake until the middle of the night. Although insufficient sleep reddened their eyes, they washed their faces and discarded their sleeping dress and put on auspicious pink silk cloth. With their extraordinary qualities, these girls looked just like an effulgent cluster of lotus flowers walking down the pathway. Alone, they felt very, very shy and hesitant to approach Krishna. But as a group. They shone with the pride and power of a dazzling cascade of light, spreading their radiance in all directions. These beautiful young girls appeared like a garland of lightning bolts moving along the earth. As they proceeded towards the Jamuna, they sang loudly about the wonderful qualities of Hari, who is forever praised by the heavenly demigods like Lord Brahma. Full of rhythm and precise intonations, their voices blended harmoniously like the soft, sweet notes of the Veena. A fragrance emanated from their mouths as they engaged in kirtan. Captivated by that fragrance, swarms of bees flew excitedly towards their faces, hoping to taste that nectar. And when the gopis blinked their eyes out of fear of the buzzing bees, the beauty of their faces greatly increased. Their maidservants followed behind, carrying the finest quality ingredients for their Devi Puja, which had all been collected according to very strict rules of worship. The tinkling sound of their ankle bells and their bangles defeated the chirping of love-maddened parrots. Just as the hot sunshine does not wilt a lotus flower, their faces remained fresh and attractive, even though they were constantly burning with a desire to meet Krishna. Thus, they ignored the restrictions imposed upon them by their elders as they walked towards the Jamuna. As they proceeded, they began to make up their own songs. Laughing loudly together, they sang sweetly about the marriage that they so ardently desired. One of the gopis would sing, "O dear, beautiful friend, this Krishna who wears a forest flower garland and possesses all good qualities will surely marry you. Raja's king will bring this joyful news, and hearing it, your mother and father will become extremely happy. They will arrange a very opulent dowry, and Krishna will hide his happiness in his heart. He will joke with his friends and pretend to be angry. On the auspicious day indicated by the astrologers, he will dress in opulent clothing. His beautiful dark complexion and his gold silk dhoti will look like handsome rain clouds and golden lightning. He will wear a wonderful golden yellow garment on his chest. And upon his head, he will have a splendid crown. He will have sparkling jewels in his hair. And he will be decorated with splendid tilak. His cheeks will be adorned by golden earrings. And his red lips will defeat the beautiful crimson color of a bimba fruit. He will wear many jeweled necklaces and he will hold in his hands a veil to cover your face. He will wear armlets and rings and bracelets, and on his chest the regal Kostuba gem. He will wear many flower garlands and anklets and a glistening, sparkling, jeweled belt. No one has ever seen anything as splendid as his garments and ornaments on your wedding day. He will travel with his friends to the wedding on a jeweled cart, singing. They will shower flowers upon him, and they will be accompanied by music from 100 instruments. The sound of the music and the singing and the chariot will make him very, very, very happy. Oh, friend, when you hear these tumultuous sounds, you will become overwhelmed with joy. The composure of your heart will be broken. And when he comes to the door, you will faint in happiness. Your friends will approach you, sweetly singing, and there will be music and singing as he approaches. And you will shower him with flowers. Oh, beautiful girl, when Krishna is led to the wedding pavilion, you will become mad with happiness. Then King Nanda and all his associates will be properly worshipped with a grand festival of joking words. And then they will bring you into his presence and place you before your husband. You will be filled with love for him. And then your father will take your delicate hand and place it in the hand of your husband and sprinkle you both with water. Oh, beautiful girl, who can know the happiness you will then feel? What more need I say? It is as if I directly see this beautiful ceremony of his accepting your hand as they sang like this. They walked excitedly on the path to an isolated part of the Jamuna's bank. In their excitement, they could barely stop from running. Although Jamuna Devi is the daughter of the sun god, who removes all darkness and afflictions, she herself is filled with streams of darkness. With the eyes of her swirling waves, Jamuna Devi could directly perceive the feelings of these young girls who desired Nanda Maharaja's son as their husband. Seeing their agitation, and seeing the agitation they were feeling caused by intense love, Jamuna wanted to embrace these young girls with the playful waves, the hands of her waves, and respectfully greet them, saying, "Oh dear girls, welcome, welcome. Come, come." And then she made a chut, 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 chut sound of her waves in response to the delicate chut, 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 chut sound of the gopis' ankle bells as they quickly ran down the forest path. Wishing to satisfy the desire of the young girls, Jamuna tenderly looked at the gopis from the corner of her lotus flower eyes. And she praised them by the chirping of the water birds flying overhead. Then, commencing their vrat, the gopis immediately placed all the items of worship on the sandy shore and threw off their shawls and dressed themselves in fine white cloth to bathe. They looked more beautiful than a stream of falling snow. In that chilly morning, they shivered and softly sighed. Then they offered obeisances to Jamuna Devi and climbed down the bank and slowly entered the chilly waters. Ignoring the cold, they followed all the prescribed rules and completed their baths. And then they joyfully ran back up the bank, feeling very elated for having courageously tolerated the painfully cold water. After bathing and drying and dressing, the gopis looked even more beautiful as they filled their mouths with the sweet names of Krishna. Even Lakshmi Devi could not surpass their good fortune. Then, while thoroughly immersing their minds in remembrance of Krishna, they proceeded to a special place on the bank of the Jamuna, carrying the puja items they had so painstakingly gathered. Occasionally they sighed from the cold, and Suryadev gradually dispelled their chill by caressing them with his gentle, warm rays. In a clearing by the Jamuna's shore, in a grove of ancient trees, with birds flying here and there, They sat down together excitedly to perform their worship to Katyayani. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogin Adishwari Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patime Kurute Namaha. O Katyayani Devi, O great goddess, please make the son of Nanda Maharaj my husband. Tomorrow, we will all take part in that special sacred ceremony that they are about to perform. And they will continue to perform every morning during this sacred Magh Shirsha month that we are so fortunate to be taking some part in here in Vrindavan by hearing this beautiful pastime. Hare Krishna.